Father, we come in Jesus' name. We thank you for your presence already in our midst. As we go into the word, we humble ourselves afresh under your mighty hand. I pray for fresh unction and anointing, firstly upon my heart, my lips. So, Father, I will speak as I should indeed as an oracle of God. I pray you put the same unction upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me. Those who are physically present, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that your word will flow freely from you, Father, through me to your people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including mine. In particular, to cause our wills, Father, to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We further pray, as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yes, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men to enable them to be doers of the things they hear and are hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful, that I will deliver this word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say. Bring now the treasure of this word, things new and old, indeed as a scribe instructed under the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessed mention of that prayer in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said, we're going to continue our study this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, a great chapter on the resurrection. And in our last lesson, we stopped in verse 26. Saying that the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And we explained that there are two parts to that. There is this aspect of our dominating death in this church dispensation. Right now, we're in the dispensation of the church. We are going to go into the millennial reign when the Lord Jesus returns physically. But between now and then, the church should have dominion over death. Since the last enemy will be destroyed, the final destruction of death is going to take place after the millennial reign, as I'm going to explain to you in a few minutes. But there is a destruction of death that is available now. For the scripture says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And one of those works, of course, is death. Death really is separation from God. And of course, it manifests itself in horrible ways, especially sickness. I think it was E.W. Kennan who said, sickness is incipient death. That is, it's death that has already started. You know, and then, of course, it culminates in physical death, where the human spirit leaves the body, you know. And the Bible says that this death is an enemy. And the reason why Jesus came was to give life. And life is the exact opposite of death. When you receive the life of God, it restores your fellowship with God, you know, because death is separation from God. But when you connect back to God, then God gives you life. And we shared last time, this is very, very important, that as Christians, we should dominate death. Now, that doesn't mean we cannot die, but it does mean that we, in conjunction with God, incidentally, we finished our book, so hopefully it should be out sometime next week, on long life and fulfilling your destiny, and two books, actually, and the types and orders and glories of the resurrection. And because I was just reviewing it over this weekend. You know, you have to understand that it's the will of God for us to live long. You know, when we say live long, we're looking at 120 and above years. You know, that's God's definition, not ours. You find it in Genesis chapter 6. But the point we want to make here is that death should be dominated. It should not dominate us. In other words, even when you die, you and God decide where, when, and how you die. Not sickness or an accident or Satan just comes in and just kills you. and it's been raining. You know, death has been raining. Because most times, most Christians don't know these scriptures. It says, death is an enemy. Then the Bible tells us, I mentioned this in the last lesson, you know, the Lord Jesus is at the right now, he's sitting at the right hand of God. The Bible says that he must, you know, reign until he has put all the enemies under his feet. That's where the scripture comes from. And the last enemy shall be destroyed is death, you know, and the feet is in the body. So the church should dominate death. You know, what that means is that in this life, we'll be able to raise people from the dead like Jesus did. You see, Jesus dominating death in his ministry. He raises Lazarus from the dead after 4 days, you know. And we should dominate death like that, you know. And the Bible tells us that Jesus will not come, you know, until all these things are under the feet of the church. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. We have to understand that, you know. He's going to stand up and come for the church, this glorious church, this church that's without spot, blemish, or wrinkle, only after his enemies have been made his footstool. And the last enemy that's going to make our footstool is death. We're going to dominate death, cast, you know, raise people from the dead, you know, when the Lord tells us to, and demonstrate it. I mentioned this, you know, I know it sounds mind-boggling, but it's true that, you know, raising the dead is going to be common. Now, it doesn't mean everybody's going to do it, no. But it means it's going to be common. Just like today, speaking in tongues is common, even though not everybody speaks in tongues, even in the church. So it is, you know, when the spirit without measure is inherited and begins to be made manifest in the church, and we believe that is imminent, we're going to see, you know, people raising the dead on a regular basis. It will no longer be news. The one that will be news will be maybe when you raise somebody from dead who's been dead for a week. After they've buried it and put the cement and everything, then they go there and they break the whole thing up, bring the coffin out, and they, you know, and CNN and all these people come there, and God's going to do that, you know, as a witness to men. But you know what's going to amaze you? People will see that and still won't believe. You know, you think that if people saw that, nobody will. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. After 4 days, did they believe? No. They said, let's kill him. That shows you the depravity of the human heart. If you allow sin to develop in your heart, you will see naked truth and you will not accept it. They saw Lazarus raised from the dead. And they went to go and tell them. They said this. You know, they said if this man continues like this, he's going to, you know, take away our place. That's all they were thinking about, you know, and their position. They weren't thinking about the wonderful work. That how can somebody, even if they had any misgivings and doubts about the Lord Jesus before, when that report came about Lazarus, that should have put that aside. But it shows you. That's another truth we've said many times over the years. You know, seeing miracles won't give you faith. People saw Lazarus from the dead, but they didn't have faith in Jesus. Even after seeing Lazarus from the dead. So it was some of the people went to gossip and say, you know, he raised, and then they started planning to kill him instead of believing. So, you know, the Bible says, no servant is greater than his Lord. If they don't believe, if they didn't believe him, they won't believe us too. But it will still be done anyway as a witness. So they won't say they didn't see and they didn't know. So on judgment day, when God brings out the records, say you were there when somebody was raised from the dead. So raising people from the dead is going to be common. And then we're going to have saints who will dominate death. Doesn't mean that they may not die. And I believe there's a generation of which you and I are part that will not die. Not because we're better than previous generation. We just happen to be living in the last generation before Jesus comes. A generation is about 100 years, and you start calculating that generation from about 1948, which is when, you know, the fig tree symbolizing Israel, began to shoot forth its leaves, its branches. Jesus said, learn the parable of the fig tree, that when she puts forth branches, then you know that the end is near. Then he said, this generation. So you're looking at 1948 to about 2048. Now, those are prophetic shadows. People will take that and run with it and say, Jesus come 2048. I didn't say that. He may come 2049. He may come 2046. He may come 2057. it's a shadow. But, when he comes, will be dependent on what we do. The scripture is very clear that we can hasten. In other words, we can shorten the days, or we can delay it by... So what we're doing now, what you're doing with what I'm teaching you now, is going to have an effect on when Jesus comes, the exact time. But anyway, but we have a prophetic shadow that tells us, so we know it's soon. When I say soon now, if you're looking at 2048, this is 2023. So if you're looking at 30 years from today, you're looking at 2053. So if you're looking at 2048 is how many years? It's 25 years. That's how I say the things I say. I say anything. 20 years, I won't say more than that. I know it cannot be before that, because it's going to take time for the church to do its work, which is to make disciples in all nations. So during these 25, 30 years that are left, we have to dominate death in the sense of, like I said, raise people from the dead, and we ourselves will not die. There'll be a lot of people who won't die. They will go to heaven through the air, through the rapture, according to the Lord Jesus Christ, through Paul. He said, we shall not all sleep. He said, it's not everybody's going to die. There's going to be a generation of people who will not die. They will be alive. He says, they which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, and they'll be caught up. So that's our destiny. So that generation, or this generation really, will dominate death in this way. They will not die physically. Some of them will not die physically. And those who even die before Jesus comes will dominate it. They and God will decide where they die, when they die, and how they die. It's not that the devil just come with sickness or an accident or a plane crash. No, that will not happen to them. They and God will say, look, this is when I want to die. And I gave the testimony of Gordon Lindsay. It's not only Gordon Lindsay, same thing, E.W. Kenyon. E.W. Kenyon died at 80-something. The day he was going to die, he had breakfast, he spoke with his daughter. He had one daughter called Ruth. She continued the work with his books. She's dead now too. And then there's some other people who are continuing the work. There's a particular lady I'm in contact with, because I send part of my tithe to the Kenyon Ministries every month. So I'm in contact with them. The work is still, even though he's been dead for so many years, the work has continued. And he gave them instructions about what they should do, his daughter. Then he said, he got up in the morning and said, I'm going home today. They thought that the man is getting old. When you are old, you start saying funny things. He said, but you're already at home. What do you mean you're going home today? He said, yeah, I'm going home today. Then he had breakfast, spoke to his wife, his daughter, told them about his books, told them about the ministry, things that they were going to do, and he had a rocking chair. It's good to go in style. He had this kind of chairs where you can rock on. It was in the balcony or something, in the house, Then he just said, I told you I'm going home today. Well, there's Jesus, spoke in tongues, and went. Give the Lord a clap offering. Give EWK a super clap offering. That's how to go. That's what we mean by dominating death. Death didn't just come in. It was with permission. He and God decided when he died, where he died, and how he died. Now, let me put a balance on that, because some people will take that, especially young Christians who don't have wisdom, and say, Pastor Olubi said you will not die. I didn't say that. You can die. Now, you don't have to. If you're living, if you're, because you're part of this, if you're born after 1948, you don't have to. You can, but you don't have to. You know, even before 1948, in fact, if you're born from 1900, really, you know, people who were born in 1900 would be 123 years now. Amen. They can stretch that thing to 140 if they want. It just depends on you and God, you know. But anyway, let's just take 1948, you know, as a baseline. You can stretch it, you know. So by the time Jesus comes, they'll be about 100 years old, you know. So it can be 100, 110. So people, some people who are born in 1939, they can't stretch it. But to do that, you have to really know God. You have to be walking with God like Moses, you know, and Joseph, and some of these great saints, you know, where the life of God is made manifest in their mortal flesh. He says his eye was not dim, his natural strength was not abated. He's available, but there's a price. And the price is, you know, walking with God and now in the life of God. That's the key to be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Now, there is also, that's in this church age. Now, in the age, in the millennial reign, at the end of the millennial reign, there's going to be a final destruction of death. Now, this is what I said I'll deal with today. What you need to understand is this. When Jesus comes back physically, he's going to set up government in Jerusalem, and he's going to reign over the earth. And those saints like you and I, who are resurrected before the millennium, at the rapture, whether it's pre-trib or mid-trib or post-trib, you know, it's good to go from pre-trib. You know, that's the one before the tribulation, or the one in the middle of the tribulation, or the one just after the tribulation. But all of that must take place before Jesus returns. And he sets up. So it is these glorified saints with glorified bodies that are going to rule and reign with him on the earth during that millennial reign for 1,000 years. Now, at the end of that 1,000 years, now let me rewind. During those 1,000 years, there will still be people who have natural bodies who will not be glorified like us. Because they did not partake, they were not part of the what is the Bible calls the first resurrection. So they won't have, they'll still be flesh and blood. We won't be flesh and blood, we'll be flesh, but not blood. Instead of blood, it'll be glory. Oh, give the Lord a clap offering. There will be no blood in your body. You still have the same, you know, skeleton and bones and all of that. There'll be bone, there'll be flesh, but the thing that will be running through your veins will be glory. Liquid fire. Another message for another day. Amen. You know, Zoe looks like liquid gold, but dunamis, which is the power, looks like liquid fire. It's fire, but it's like, you know, it flows like a liquid. And that's what's going to be your body. That's why your body will be shining. You know, but not everybody's, you know, that's about the hope of the resurrection. And it's something that you have to, the way you live now is going to determine whether you get it or you don't get it. Now, the people who don't get it, but are still alive physically when Jesus returns, you know, and they don't get glorified bodies, you know, and they were, well, they didn't rebel. They didn't die physically during the tribulation, and they're still physically alive when Jesus comes. When the millennial reign begins, Satan is going to be bound in the bottomless pit. You find this in Revelation chapter 20. And during that time, even though people will still be dying, death will still be around, but they won't die like they die now. See, now the average person dies after, like I said, 120 years. But during the millennium, if somebody dies when he's 100 years, they'll say he died very young. There are people who will be, you know, living up to 200, 500 years, 600 years. Why? Because death, the person who is causing death will be in the bottomless pit. And because of the millennial reign and the reign of life and power that will be in the air, the whole atmosphere and everything, the air and the earth would have changed. So you will find that people, they will still be dying, but they won't be dying like, let me give you scripture. They're looking at me funny. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now let's see, where do we go? Let's go to Isaiah. Thank you. Let's go to Isaiah. It's all over the Bible, but I think it's Isaiah 64 or 65. Where is it there? It says a child, you know, will be, is it 64 or 65? Somebody let me find that scripture. It's Isaiah, you know, the Bible says that somebody dies being 100 years old and he's considered to be a child. Where is it? When? Where? 65:20. Thank you. Isaiah. Let's give Isaiah a super clap offering. Wow. That guy got so much revelation. You know, the book, the whole of the prophet Isaiah is a small Bible. It's 66 chapters. And the entire Bible is 66 books. And Isaiah is in the middle of the Bible. And exactly, you know, where Jesus is up there, is right in the center of the Bible. So God gave Isaiah a very special place. Hallelujah! Isaiah 65, verse, what did you call it? 20, thank you. Right, good. This is the millennial reign. So here, this is what it says. It says, and I'll rejoice in Jerusalem and join my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, and the voice of crying. Now watch this. And there shall be no more thence an infant of days, and an old man that hath not filled his days. Now they will still die, but they will not be dying as quickly as they are dying now. What's going to happen is, when you get the revelation, is that it's actually a reversal of what happened from the Garden of Eden. You know, when Adam sinned, God told him, the day you sin, you will die. Now that day was not literal. Adam did not die. He died that day spiritually, but he did not die that day physically. It took Adam another 930 something years to die, because there was so much life in his system. The residual life in the system was so much, it sustained him for 900 years. And that's why if you look at the genealogies, as death continued to reign on the earth, the amount of years that they were living started reducing. You know, so you find that the next generation, you know, Noah and all those people, those early patriarchs, some of them lived 900 years, then it dropped to 800, then it dropped to 700, then it dropped to 600. By the time we got to Abraham's time, it was 175. 200. By the time we get to Moses, 120, which is what we still have now. Now, that's going to be reversed. When Jesus comes, because the person who is causing death is Satan, and he would have been bound in the bottomless pit. So instead of people dying as quickly as they used to, you know, their longevity will start increasing, just like it reduced from 900 down to 120. It will now increase back from 120 back to 900. About before the millennial reign is over. Is this clear? It's very important. These are not cunningly devised fables. You know, if you don't have revelation and you've not been walking life of God to any appreciation, you won't appreciate what I'm saying. It will sound like, you know, but to us, by the grace and the mercy of God, you know, who have walked in the life of God to some degree, you know, I've seen the life of God in operation in my body. So, you know, it's, to me, it's not a tale. I know it's true. I know it's true. It's going to increase back just in the opposite direction by which it decreased, you know. And look at, I've said it, but let, you know, because, you know, they don't believe me. No, they don't. All right. 1,000 years. Here, there, let's go. You know, Revelation chapter 20. We're talking about the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. We've looked at the destruction of death in the church age, which is where we are now. We're now looking at the destruction of the church of death at the in the millennial age. He says, and I saw an angel, I didn't hear you, come down from heaven. Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 and 2 and 3. You know, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, all the names they give him, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 5 days. 1,000 years, that's the millennial reign, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. It's just a prison. And talk about solitary confinement. And set a seal upon him. You know, when the devil is giving you a lot of problem in your life, and he brings, you know, all of this, read this to him. I learned that from Brother Hagen. You read it, you know, you tell it, you know, and you give him a bad time too. You know, yes. You know, he's a created being. He's not Almighty God. And one of the things he dreads most is this. It's one of the reasons why he's fighting. He's like Adolf Hitler and all these terrible dictators. When they know their end is near, they start doing all kinds of crazy things and trying to kill as many people as possible. That's the same thing Satan is doing now. But as he comes to the earth, because he knows he has a short time. That's why he's so desperate and all the rubbish he's doing on the earth, killing people every day, you know, causing accidents and earthquakes and everything. He's the author of all of those things. Are you listening to me? You know, because he knows that when the time comes, you know, once Jesus returns, that angel is going to come and this is going to happen. And he should deceive them and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loose a little season. Can you imagine? But let me concentrate on what I'm talking about. What we're looking here is how to the destruction of death. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So what's going to happen is that he's going to be locked up. And all the terrible things, you see, everything you're seeing on the earth today, the bad things, God's mercy is still on the earth today. That's why the earth is not destroyed. And because he has his church here, and we are praying, and every day we pray, we're releasing life and power into the air. That's why your prayers are so important. You don't realize that. It's not just, you know, for your just your own personal blessing alone. It's also preserving the planet. You may not understand that, but it's true. You know, and so during this time, God is using us as a conduit pipe to put life back into the earth and sustain it to some degree. Now, when Satan is bound, all the bad things that we used to see, they will stop. You won't see any more earthquake. There'll be no more, you know, bad weather. The Bible says that the lion and the lamb, they will lie down together. What made the lion start eating the lamb? It was that distortion of the nature that God had put it, originally created, nice and everything, that had happened because of Satan. So Satan is the author. That's why I said the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Don't mix them up. He's the one who is causing all of these things. So once he's bound, that's why during the 1,000 years, you will have this millennial reign where you won't have all of these terrible conditions. Even though people will still die because, you know, some of them haven't accepted Christ, and some that still, you know, they will die and go to heaven. They will not be here on earth with us. They won't reign. Heaven is still going to be there. There's still going to be people in heaven who haven't yet got resurrected bodies. You know, so all that activity is going to be going on. But at the end of it all, we now see what's going to happen. This is the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And the Bible says, go to Revelation chapter 20. We're still there. So the Lord reigns for 1,000 years, and we who are glorified saints will reign with him. You don't want to miss this party. You can, but you don't want to. If you don't live the way you should live, you will not be a part of this. You still go to heaven, but you just won't. You won't have a glorified body, and you will not reign with Christ. See, that's what Paul, he saw by revelation. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, that I may know him. And that, the fellowship of his sufferings, the power of his resurrection. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He knew it was not automatic. I don't know, they fooled us, and tell us, if you're a Christian, yeah, you go to heaven. But will you be a part of the first resurrection? It just depends. What you sow is what you're going to reap. How did you sow life when you were here? If you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. And it's gone very quiet. As if aren't you planning to be a part of it? Depends on what you plan to do in your heart. Now, and when the 1,000 years are expired, verse 7. Let's read verse 6 just for emphasis. I don't know. This stuff is so good. Let's read from verse 5. It says, and the rest of the dead lived not again, as they were not resurrected. Doesn't mean they were not alive. They were alive, though. They were they were either in heaven or in hell, depending on, whether they accepted Christ or not. If they were in hell, they are under the earth. If they're in heaven, they're in heaven, but they were not on earth reigning. The rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. You need to read that book. I preached on this, the first resurrection is the pre-millennial resurrection. Everybody that gets whose body gets resurrected before the millennial reign. There is another resurrection after the millennium. That one, you don't get a glorified body, that one. You get it's a nice body, but you have to maintain it by the leaves of the tree of life. But the glorified body doesn't need that. He says, this is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy. Everybody scream it. I didn't hear you. Is he that hath part in the first resurrection. And on such, the second death has no power. And they, turn to your neighbor and say, they who are part of the first resurrection, shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him, 1,000 years. It's not everybody. You need to know that. So live properly. Fast. Pray. Live a holy life. Live a pure life. It's not automatic because you are born again that you will be a part of the first resurrection. You still go to heaven. That's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Isn't it amazing? He said that no other foundation can anybody lay, but that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. He said, but let every man take heed how he builds on that foundation. He said, some will build with gold and silver and precious stones. He said, some will build with wood, hay, and stubble, all of them. He said, the day will try every man's work of what sort it is. The fire will try it. And he that has done well, he will receive a reward. That's that first resurrection. He whose works are burned, he says, he will be saved, yet so as by fire, and he will suffer loss. Loss of what? First resurrection. Yes, so one person is clapping. Give the Lord a clap offering. No, not clapping for me. It's shocking people because they've been told all their lives that if you're born again, you know, it's not. You will go to heaven. You will be saved. But will you get a glorified body? So stop living how you like. Every man that had this hope in him purifies himself. That's what Paul saw. And when the 1,000 years are expired or they're finished, Satan will be loosed out of his prison and he will go and cause another. Can you imagine? People have been alive for 1,000 years. You still find people who will go with him. Even though they've been on earth, they've seen Jesus in Jerusalem, they've seen everything. Seeing miracles won't give you faith. Seeing Jesus like this with your two eyes will not give you faith. Only thing that give you faith is the word of God in a good and honest heart. Like the centurion who was not born again but had greater faith than all of Israel. Because he accepted in his conscience the law of God that had been written there. Are you listening to me? You know? Now, good. He says, and the devil that deceived them, then after the millennial reign, because of time, God will destroy Satan and all the people who will rebel against him. Can you imagine? You see, that's why these flesh and blood people who are on the earth during those 1,000 years, many of them will not be born again. But they'll be enjoying the benefits of the millennium. Yes, there will be good food, good government, everything will be fine. We'll be the rulers with the Lord Jesus. People will be dying. But they won't be dying at 60 and 70. They'll be dying at 300 years, 500 years, 600 years, 700 years. And you know the funny thing? You still have a choice to accept Christ or not. Even during the millennium. Can you believe that? That's why when Satan is loosed, he can still find people who will rebel with him. And one of the most amazing truths I saw in the Bible, I said, wow. It showed me the depravity of the human heart. The heart of man is deceitful above all things and what? Desperately wicked. After 1,000 years, so, see what happens. And the devil that deceived them was, then at the end of it, Satan, God will now take the devil, put him in the lake of fire. The bottomless pit is not the lake of fire. The bottomless pit was just a temporary prison. This is final destination. And you don't want to go with him. And the beast and the false prophet, they're all there. They're going to be tormented day and night. And there'll be a lot of other human beings with them. The Adolf Hitlers and the... I don't want to mention the name of some... You can tell the destiny people are preparing themselves for by the way they are behaving now. Wicked, rebellious, don't care about other people. You will get before God. Someone said, Pastor Luby, you're making me afraid. I just did my job. And verse 11. And I saw a great... We're talking about the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. This is the final destruction of death. There's the one that's now in the church age, which I've spoken about, which we raise people from the dead, and we ourselves dominate death. But I'm not talking about the post-millennial destruction of death. That is the destruction of death after the millennial reign. This is the final destruction. This is what was at the back of Paul's mind when he was writing all those things in 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to go back to 1 Corinthians 15 in a minute. But let's see this. It says, and I saw a great white throne judgment. Let's jump to verse 12. We're in Revelation chapter 20. And he says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. Turn to your neighbor and say, everything you're doing is being recorded, including your thoughts. I'm going to repeat it. Everything you're doing is being recorded, including your thoughts. Don't think your thoughts don't matter. Because the fact you did not say it doesn't mean you didn't think it. And it will be recorded how, what you intended to do with that thought. That's why this honesty of heart, you are not going to escape from it. You can deceive men, but you can't deceive God. Even your thoughts will be recorded. You know, before technology came, these things, it was difficult for men to believe how, and people just accept it because, you know, God is almighty and God can do everything. So it was on that basis, you know, we accept everything in the Bible based on the sovereignty of God. And we still do. But with technology, we now can know, we're now beginning to see how it can be done. You know, we now have closed circuit television, don't we? If you have a closed circuit television that is following me around and sending signals back to a server in heaven. I use the word server. A computer. That's what literally is just spiritual. Everything is being recorded. Not big. Now we can understand it. If man can make closed circuit television and can be panning and seeing everything we're doing, you know, all your actions and all of that, you know, and it can all be recorded, you know, they have discs, you know, where we keep computer memory, where we keep everything. The heaven doesn't have anything less. Heaven is far ahead in technology than we are. Give a lot of super clap offering. Far ahead. No problem for God. Even the thoughts are being recorded. And like Derek Prince taught us, you know, motive, method, and means. When you think a thought, what is the motive? What did you intend? What was your intention? It's being recorded and it will be judged. That's why it's very important to be honest and humble. And the books were opened. I didn't hear you. And another book was opened. Everybody notice that we do not know the number of books. I would say books. Don't your neighbor say that's plural. That's primary school English. It doesn't say one. It doesn't say two. It doesn't say three. It doesn't say five. It doesn't say 10. It doesn't say 100. It just said books. Everybody has a book for his life. My life has a book. Pastor Gwega's life has a book. From the day he was born into the earth till today, the book is being written. Your book is being written. You know the good thing? You are allowed to author your book. Go sell it. Give the Lord a clap offering. God is not writing your book for you. You are writing your book. You can choose the kind of book you want to write. Your thoughts, your motives, your actions, your methods, your means are all determining what your life is going to be. You know, when things happen to people, and this is a word of encouragement, you know, like some maybe die prematurely, or you lose, God forbid, you lose a wife, or you lose a husband, or you lose a child. You know, those kind of things, they can really, really depress people, you know, and make you feel very sad. And you know, but you see, you've got to learn how to move on. I gave a word to somebody who lost somebody very close to them not some time ago. And I said to them, I said, it's not the end of the book. It's just a chapter. He said, begin to write a new one. When something bad happens in your life, that's not the end of the book of your life. It's just a chapter. You can choose to start writing another chapter. And the other chapter may be so good that the bad chapter will no longer matter. Give the Lord a clap offering. I just got a text from heaven. Enoch, at 65, decided to write a new chapter. You know what the Bible says? It says, and Enoch, you know, grew up. The Bible, you know, those first 65 years. He said, then he decided. He said, and Enoch walked with God. And he wrote a new chapter that completely enveloped, completely, you know, made the first 65 years irrelevant. Because the rest of his life was so good, 300, and he walked with God and he was not. And it's recorded in the scripture. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. God gives you the chance of rewriting your book, of writing new chapters of your book that will make the bad old chapters irrelevant. I don't know if you got. If you give the Lord a clap, or if you got what I said. It's a word of hope. Are you listening to me? But what you're doing, what you're thinking, your thoughts, your words, your actions are writing the book of your life. Because everything is being recorded. I don't know if I'm helping anybody. And another book was opened. Now after the books. And another book was opened. Now this one, it tells us the name of this one. Which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things. We're talking about the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written, watch is it, in the books, plural. According to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. This sea here is not the Atlantic Ocean. It's not the Pacific Ocean. It's the sea of humanity. These are human beings that got born again. They accepted Christ. But they did not get glorified bodies. They did not have a pre-millennium resurrection. So the sea. But Revelation chapter 17 is in verse 15. It says, the waters which you saw, quickly cut to that on the screen if you can, you know, which you saw are peoples and tongues and kindreds. The sea there is water. It's a type. It's a symbolism for human beings. The sea of humanity. There it is. Oh, no. Revelation is verse 15. This guy doesn't know his Bible very well. Amen. You didn't do your foundations of faith classes. Anybody who doesn't know all these things I'm saying, anybody who did foundation of it, they know they should know it. Hello? Verse 15. Revelation 17, 15. Where is he? God have mercy on them. There you go. And he said unto me, I didn't hear you. The waters which thou sawest, where the whore there is the prostitute, which is the spirit of Babylon, sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. That's the sea that's going to give up its dead. Observe. Pastor Buega, I've been preaching this thing for years. I just saw another flash. It's something I've known before, but I've just seen it now with new light. The Christians that do not get out of the influence of Babylon don't get the first resurrection. The whore is sitting on them. That's why I said, come out of them, my people. Babylon is a spirit. If you don't break the influence of that spirit in your life, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, that's the spirit of the world, you know. You born again, oh. You go to heaven, but you will lose reward of first resurrection. That's why this is when they are given up. I don't know if you're getting me. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. observe there's a difference between the sea and death and hell. The sea is the Christians, the people who accepted Christ in their lifetime, but did not break the influence of the hall. They didn't overcome the loss of the flesh, the loss of the eyes, and the pride of life. They didn't, you know, they did not live consecrated Christian life. They were born again, children of God. But they were building with wood, hay, and stubble. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. Now watch this. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This second death. So the question is, what happened to the sea? They were not cast in the lake of fire. They went to heaven. But they didn't have glorified bodies. They suffered loss. It went very quiet. You know why? It's a sobering truth. So you see, the way you know this is going to affect the way you live. No wonder why Paul said, I pray always. I've heard you're born again. This is Olubi Johnson paraphrase. I hear you're born again and I hear you're filled with the Holy Spirit. But I pray that God will give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you will know the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance saints, and the exceeding greatness of his resurrection power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Then in chapter 4, he says, don't walk like the other Gentiles in the vanity of the mind. Walk worthy of this high vocation. You see, Christianity gives you the opportunity, you know, the privilege of being able to receive, get a resurrected body. But whether you get it or not is going to be dependent on how you live. You will go to heaven. Heaven is not the issue. You see, heaven is a gift. The thief on the cross went to heaven. But whether I got a glorified body or not, I don't know. We'll know on that day. You know, when we get to where's the thief on the cross? Everybody wants to find out where's the guy, you know, the guy who accepted Christ. You know, they want to know, is he post-millennium or very likely he's on the other side? You can't live anyhow. And then get a glorified body. It's not going to happen. That will sober you up. You will go to heaven. The sea went to heaven. Only death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now this, I'm going to close now. This is the destruction of death. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is what? Death. This is the final destruction of death. Death and hell. And all the people who participated in it, you know, they'll be cast in the lake of fire and that's their end. Let's get back now to 1 Corinthians 15. If you're still on my side, give me a wave offering. Then give the Lord a clap offering. You may not have liked the message very much, but you know what? It's truth. And it will set you free. And then you stop living carelessly. So, what does he gain? You know? Fasting and praying. In our language, that means, hey, why are you doing all the things you are doing? Hey, were you the one who killed Jesus' mother? You will find out at the resurrection. I feel sorry, and I say this guardedly, you know, I don't know if the word is sorry. I feel sorry for Christians who have not been taught these things and are living in a fool's paradise. They're in for a rude shock. You hear, stay rapturable, but then they live anyhow. They're dominated by the loss of the flesh. They live carnal lives. All they live for is bread and fish. All they live for is God bless me. Like one pastor told me many, many years ago, I say it as a joke, you know, but it's true. It was a true story. He said, went for a prophetic conference. So coming back, and the guy, he drove me there, it was me and Noel Woodruff. This was in London. This was many, many years ago, maybe about 20 years ago. You know. And so he said, Pastor Olubiejo Asoto. He said it in Yoruba. He said, you know, Ati Woodruff Nikoni got. In other words, you know, what you were preaching and teaching, only you and Noel understood. Noel Woodruff is a prophetic teacher he lives in the Caribbean. You know, he said, oh, that I understood what he said. The rest of us were just looking at you. We didn't really understand. He said, Pastor Olubi, prophetic. He said, all this is unnecessary. He said, isn't it that the people should get born again? Then after they get born again, they get blessed. And when they get blessed, they go to heaven. He said, it's so simple. He said, all this prophetic that you are putting inside is all complicating everything. That's my paraphrase of what he said. You know, and sadly, many of us think like that. No wonder why the man said, if in this life only you have hope in Christ, you have all made most miserable. If Christianity is just to give you a finer house, a fine wife, nice children, nice car, nice office, nice something, which is all good, and God wants to give you that because God, you know, he delights in the prosperity of his people. And if you being evil, know how to give good things to your children, he'll give good things to you. But if that is all, then you're very miserable, because there are a lot of people who are not born again that have better house, better car, better office, better clothes. You can't live like that. There is something beyond this life. The Christian that only lives for what material and physical blessings that the gospel can give him will wind up being part of the sea and will not partake of the first resurrection. He'll go to heaven, but he will suffer loss. But the consecrated Christian, the Christian that purifies himself even as he is pure, those are the ones that are destined to get glorified bodies at their resurrection. All Christians are going to go to heaven. Stand to your feet. I got to close. I'll stop in verse 28. Now, what I've given you now is an epignosis, complete knowledge on this statement. The last enemy. There's a destruction of death before millennium. There's destruction of death after millennium. The destruction of death after millennium is after the resurrection at the great white throne. Then death and hell and all their people will now be put in the lake of fire. And then death is destroyed. There will be no more death in the entire universe. Death will be completely and totally destroyed. You know, then in verses 27 and 28, he says, Jesus, well, we'll look at this again next time. You know, Jesus will now be subject to the Father who put all things under him. And you need to understand these things. And don't live as if everything is going to end here. This was what the Apostle Paul saw. And that's why he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that scripture has just come to me. You know, he says, I keep under my body. I bring it into subjection, lest by any means, after I have preached to others, I myself should be disapproved. Doesn't mean it's going to hell. But I lose my eternal reward. And it's possible. So that's why I don't live anyhow. That's why I'm not going all over the whole place, you know. He said, don't we have power to lead about a sister like James and Peter and all the brethren of the Lord? It's not wrong to marry you. But what Paul was saying is this. He's saying that if you live a carnal life, it's going to cost you in your resurrection. If you live a holy life, is going to reward you in your resurrection. Salvation is not based on works. is based on faith in Jesus. The thief on the cross went to heaven. But the thief on the cross is not going to stand where Joseph stands. You're not going to stand where Daniel stands. Our works important, very important. Because the works and the way we live by the Spirit now, not works of the flesh, but works of the Spirit, is going to determine the type, the order, and the glory of my resurrection. So I take my works very seriously. I say, we don't need works just to be born again. Yeah, sure, you get born again. You'll be part of the sea that the whore was sitting on. You don't want to do that. Let's talk to God. Just to be close to you.
Just to be close to you. That's where I want to be.
I now hide myself.
I now hide myself inside your heart.
To find my destiny. Every step. Is one less step.
Is one less step on me.
I'll live in your presence.
I'll live in your presence.
Close to you.
Close to you.
I'll live in your presence.
I'll live in your presence.
Close. Just to be close to you. Oh, sing it. Hallelujah. Where I'm going to live.
Where I want to be.
I now hide myself.
I hide myself
inside your heart. To find my destiny. Every step. Is one less step. I'll live in your presence.
I'll live in your presence.
Close to you.
Close to you. So close to you. I'll live in your presence. Close to you. Close.
One more time. Just to be close to you. Hallelujah. Myself. Find my destiny. Every step is one less step. I'll live in your presence. Close to you. Put one hand on your heart. Raise your other hand to God. A sign of consecration. A sign of surrender. We're not living for this life alone. We'll be blessed in this life because we're God's children. And God delights in the prosperity of His servant. And God loves us and His children. He gives us good things. But we're not living because of those things. We're living to obtain a better resurrection. You better wake up. Being born again is just a beginning. It's not an end. Born again people, the sea that the whore was sitting on. And they never made the first resurrection. They went to heaven. But they did not reign on earth with Christ. They didn't have glorified bodies. And they're going to be like that for eternity. They'll be in heaven. There'll be the trees of life on either side of the river. And they will bring 12 manner of fruits for every month. And they will eat of the fruit. And they will take, you know, the leaves. And it'll be for the healing of their body. And they'll be sustained like that throughout eternity. But what could they have got? No wonder why the book of Revelation tells us that the people will be crying in heaven. God will comfort them. Because they will see what they could have got and what they lost. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. Let's talk to God. Say, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father. I thank you for your word. I thank you because the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. I thank you that we can destroy death now in this dispensation, and that death will ultimately be destroyed after the millennial reign of Christ by putting death and hell in the lake of fire forever. Father, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. I repent where I have not put a priority on my resurrection in my Christian life, in my thinking, in my motivations, and in my actions. I receive mercy, the blood of Jesus, to cleanse our sins, your life, and your power in sufficient measure as we pray. Heavenly Father, help me refocus. Enlighten the eyes of my understanding that I will know the resurrection power that's been wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. That I will, like Paul, press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That I may know you better, the fellowship of your sufferings, the power of your resurrection, so that I may attain unto a better resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank you. Lord Jesus, Lord Holy Ghost, and thank you for your blood. We thank you for your life. We thank you for your power. Lembra, in and upon our wills, la brikatolo mosto fresh. Our minds, la brikatolo mosto fresh. Our emotions, la brikatolo mosto fresh. Our physical bodies, rino tolo mosto fresh. Our regional circumstances, la brikatolo mosto fresh. Our regional heavenlies, rino to fredeka. Lombre dosko fre, lombre deska. Insufficient measure, rena tosko frede. In this regard, renos, lombre ketolo mosto fresh. In Jesus' name. If you need healing, just raise your hand. If you're here or you're at home, if you're at home, just stretch your hand towards your device. If you're here, just stretch your hand. Do it in faith. Father, we release the healing power that is in your word, that is already in the air, into the physical bodies of all those who are stretching forth their hands now in faith. In Jesus' name, be thou made whole. We come against the spirit of infirmity, spirits of fear, of doubt, of oppression, of depression. We cast you out. Destroy your works. Resist them. We bind you in Jesus' name. We loose the angels of God and the seven spirits of God to minister unto their physical bodies in Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord a super clap offering. As we're praying, God spoke to me. Why does God want you to have a healthy body? Yeah, because he loves you. And he doesn't want you to have discomfort and all of that. But more importantly, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. God wants that body strong and healthy so you can go around to do the work of God. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, travel to far countries to go and make disciples. If you're sick, you can't do that. Your mindset needs to change. You keep that body healthy, you'll be able to live long. Your natural strength will not be abated. Your eye will not be dim. And at the end, you get a glorified body. What a good deal. Give the Lord a clap offering. That's why you want to be healed. Not to get healed and be healthy so that you can sin, you can indulge in the flesh and all of that, no. That's the wrong motivation for wanting to get healed. Remember that man, Jesus said to him, he said, "Will thou be made whole?" So I've been here 38 years. Jesus knew he'd been there for a long time. Jesus healed him. Then he saw him about an hour later or so, sometime later. He said to him, he said, "Behold, you've been made whole." He said, "Sin no more." So a worse thing won't come upon you. The body was not healed so you can sin with it. It was healed so you can glorify God with it.